get started. Maundy Thursday service is very important to the church because that night several things have happened. The important thing that we remember, some of the important things that we remember are the Last Supper that Jesus shared with the disciples before he was crucified. And we commemorate that on our communion Sundays. And also here, most of the churches will have a communion service on the Thursday night service. And also, that's the night when Jesus was betrayed by Judas. Actually, Jesus identified Judas as the betrayer. And then he was also part of the supper that they shared. And then Jesus showed them an example of washing the feet of the disciples that night, just before the supper. That shows many things that I will be going through this sermon today. But that is a very important event in the history of the ministry of Jesus and also the church. And many churches consider that also as a ordinance, less like communion. Some of the churches observe washing of feet at least like every month. But we don't do that on a regular basis, but some churches tonight, even in our areas, do that, washing of the feet. Those are the important things. And then Jesus went on to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he poured out his tears and blood, and then cried out to the Father if the cup can be removed from him. And then he committed himself to the will of the Father ultimately, and being obedient as the Son of God. So that's what the importance of this night is. And tomorrow also we'll have a service for just meditation and prayer. The Good Friday, the crucifixion night. The word Maundy in the Maundy Thursday comes from the Latin word mandate. Mandate means a command or a law. So Jesus gave his disciples and the world a new command to love one another as I have loved you. So that is also part of the scripture reading that we have taken today, tonight. So the command, the greatest command, is to love God and to love one another. The Pharisees and the disciples asked them, they have 10 commandments, and which one is the greatest? So Jesus said, there are only 2 commandments that I am giving you. Love God and love one another. And love others as yourself. That's what he said. And in these 2 commandments are all the 10 commandments, and every other commandment that you can imagine is included. So love is the bottom commandment that we all ought to follow. And that's what he did that. So that's what Maundy Thursday is very important in that name, mandate or the command that Jesus gave us to love each other. He didn't give us a command to go out and do a lot of work, do this, do that. Those are all good things. But bottom line is, even if you do a lot of works, mm-hmm. without love, it means nothing. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Mm-hmm. So love should be the driving factor of all of our ministry, our mission, our life in this world. So with that introduction, we will start the service. You have a order of service printed in your hands, and we can follow that. And there are several scripture readings that you also have an insert in the bulletin that we will follow. I'll be reading some of the readings, and Miss Lou will be helping me read the rest of the readings as we go along. My sisters and brothers, Christ shows us his love by becoming a humble servant. Let us draw near to God and confess our sin in the truth of God's Spirit. Let us turn to hymnal 361, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side be flowed. Be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy lost demands. Could my sin no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save when thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Fall I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see this on thy judgment throne, Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. But Christ suffered and died for us, was raised from the dead and ascended on high for us, and continues to intercede for us. Believe the good news. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Let's remain standing for the scripture reading, which is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. The night that Jesus shared the supper with the disciples was on the day of the Passover. So today was the Passover festival of the Jewish people. So we are by reading the scripture, Exodus 12, 1 through 17, we can reflect on the Passover that happened the first time and the significance of that in the Jewish faith, and also our faith in Christian faith. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. You take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs, and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire with a head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is still left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked in your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it with haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days, you are to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses. For whoever eats anything with yeast is in it from the first day through the seventh month must be cut off from Israel. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another one on the seventh day. Do not work at all on these days, except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread, because it was on this very day that I brought to you your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Most merciful God, we, your church, confess that often our spirit has not been that of Christ, where we have failed to love one another as he loves us, where we have pledged loyalty to him with our lips and then betrayed, deserted or denied him. Forgive us, we pray, and by your spirit make us faithful in every time of trial through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You want to read the next one? It is John 13, 1 through 17. John 18, 1 through.
It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his feet, his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, you're going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," Peter said, "Peter, you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me." Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." But he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" He asked them, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I am your Lord and teacher and wash your feet, you also shall wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them."
Mm-hmm. Now the responsive reading is taken from Psalm 116. It is on page 837. Verses 1 through 19, sir.
I love the Lord, who has heard my voice and my supplication, and have inclined his ear to whenever I call.
The snares of death encompass me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish.
Then I called on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, beseech you, save my life.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous our God is merciful.
The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, the Lord saved me.
Return, O my soul, to your rest.
For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you.
For you have delivered my soul from death, and my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling.
I walk before the Lord in the land of the living.
I kept my faith, even when I said, I am greatly afflicted.
I said in my consternation, all humans are a vain hope.
Why shall I return to the Lord for all my benefits?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Precious is the sight of the Lord, is the death of his faithful ones.
O Lord, I'm your servant, the child of your handmaid. You have loosened my bonds.
I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord.
The word of God for the peoples of God.
Thanks be to God. The next reading is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 7 through 20. Then came the day of the unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room? Where may I eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with me on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. The next reading is from John chapter 18, verses 1 through 13.
When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron River Valley. On the other side, there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and other officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They was carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus knew all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said, and Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the word he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was
Malchus.
Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father had given me?" Then the detachment of soldiers with his commanders and the Jewish official arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Ananias, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jewish leaders that it would be good if one man died for the people.
We'll sing the hymn 354, "I Surrender All." We'll sing verses, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender. Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at his feet. I bow worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Make me Savior wholly thine. Let the feel the Holy Spirit truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to gather here and also online to worship you, Lord, on this night. As we remember the passion that you have gone through for us in this world, as a human being, you came to this world from heaven, suffered like one of us, and took up the punishment of our sins and died on the cross of Calvary. On the night that we are remembering tonight was the night that you were betrayed, but by one of your own. Bless us, Lord, as we meditate on the word to understand the meaning of this night and the command that you gave us to love each other. Love others as ourselves goes beyond any love in this world, as the sacrificial love that you have shown to us by giving up your life for us. Help us, Lord, to meditate your new word tonight. Take part in this communion so that we will be blessed by the Holy Spirit and filled by the power of the Spirit, that we can be filled with the love and we can love others as you have commanded us to do. Bless us with your presence and touch us with your Holy Spirit as we meditate on your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So tonight we remember the night when Jesus gathered his 12 disciples and had the supper in the upper room, as it is mentioned in the Bible. And it was the day of the Passover, that the Jewish people were celebrating a big festival of the Passover. As we read tonight from the Exodus, book of Exodus, we read about the Passover festival and importance of that. That's the festival that they celebrate to remember their deliverance from the bondage of the Pharaoh in Egypt. People were in bondage and in slavery for over 400 years. And now God has given them a leader through Moses who would come and deliver them from the bondage of Pharaoh. And many of you know that story, so I don't want to go deep into the story of Moses. So through Moses, God raised up a leader to deliver the people of Israel from the bondage that they had been suffering. They had been crying out to the Lord to deliver them. And then God delivered them through several plagues that affected the land of Egypt and the Pharaoh's family. And there are plagues that you can read in the book of Exodus, right from the having the locusts and the worms, and having the Nile River turning into red blood.
Yes.
And then there is the frogs. So many plagues that are listed there. And one of the plagues that was the last plague was to have all the firstborn in the families of Egyptian people be killed. That was a terrible, terrible night for anyone to remember. But God gave them a promise that as the angel of death or angel of God will come through the land to kill the firstborn in the land, God made a signpost so that the death would know which homes are Egyptian homes and which homes are the homes of the Israelites. So they were asked to sacrifice a lamb, each family, and it says all of that in there. According to the size of the family, they have to select the size of the lamb, but the lamb has to be without blemishes. It should not have any blemishes, meaning it should not be a limping or have any marks on them, or it had to be a perfect lamb without any blemishes. That's what God gave them to do, to sacrifice. So these are all symbolic of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that was going to happen for the deliverance of the world from the bondage of sin and evil. And that's what they are the Jewish people were celebrating on this particular night, about their deliverance, that they are remembering and thanking God for the deliverance that they had through Moses. And the new Moses, the leader that God sent to us to to deliver us from our sin, bondage of sin and death is Jesus Christ. Moses was a deliverer from the physical bondage of the political freedom when Jesus, the Son of God, himself came as the new leader to deliver us from the bondage of spiritual bondage. So that is what the importance of this night is. And Jesus had supper with them, with the disciples, and then washed their feet, according to what we read in the scripture. Mm-hmm. He washed their feet as a symbol of many things. And first of all, he told them that I am washing your feet as an example that you are to follow. The scripture that we read today, he said, as the teacher and Lord, I am washing your feet, so you ought to wash each other's feet. So by washing feet of his disciples, Jesus demonstrated the way we should live by serving others for God. Jesus truly was showing how to be a leader in the world of spiritual life. According to the encyclopedia, it was a common courtesy for a host to travel, a travel-weary guest who comes into your house, the guest has to give them water to wash their feet. That's the Jewish custom. Because of the dusty roads, and they used to walk miles, they have dusty feet. So when they come to your house, you give them water so they can wash their own feet. That's what the Jewish people are used to. So here Jesus said, you are going to wash each other's feet. And they were all gathered together. And Jesus said this, and they said, really? Did he really say that? So they were probably looking at each other and said, who is going to start first? So you know, everybody probably looked at Peter, who was close to Jesus. Everybody thought he might start first. But probably Peter himself thought, well, I am the, you know, he gave me the key to the heaven and I made the rock of the church, foundation of the church. Now I'm not supposed to be washing the feet, so somebody else would wash it. So they probably thought Judas would do that. And Judas, because he kept the money and he was the treasurer or the trustee maybe. So Peter said, probably Judas would do that. Judas said, no, I am the man who keeps the money. I have position. So he thought, you know, somebody, Philip will do that. Or Philip said, Andrew would do that. So they were looking at each other, who would start doing this? Because they are not used to this. And Jesus, their tradition is to give the water to the guest and the guest will wash their own feet. But Jesus said, no, you are going to wash each other's feet. And Jesus knew this was going to happen. Because we all know that how it happens in our churches, right? And there are things to do that nobody wants to do. And we look at each other. And we complain to about each other about, oh, so such and such things have to be done. Nobody's doing it. Everybody's saying about it. They're looking at each other. And Jesus himself stood up and he took a towel and wrapped around his waist, and he took a bowl of water and started washing the feet. And he started from Peter, because he knew that Peter was the one who would jump up and do something. And that's what happened. Peter objected to it. And he said, immediately as they saw that Jesus started washing the feet, and they were shocked to their life. And then Peter said, no, Lord, you should not wash my feet. And then Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you will not have any part in the kingdom of God that I'm going to bring to you. So in order to have that, then Jesus, and Peter admitted that, and he knew exactly what Jesus was teaching him. And he said, not only my feet, wash my head and my whole body. So he surrendered himself to the washing of Jesus, and Jesus washed everybody's feet. So in the Jewish tradition, like I said, water was given to the guest. And very rarely, for rich Jewish families, they will wash the feet of the guest. If you have a servant in your home, they will ask the servant to wash an honorable guest if they come to your house. So a servant or a slave usually does that job if somebody else has washed somebody else's feet. So in other words, Jesus was showing them that he is a humble servant who came as a slave in this world to serve others. In order to serve others, we have to become humble like servants. And that's what he was teaching them. and he was telling them to do that and follow his examples. Jesus did more than that. He offered us an example. And he said that in verse 15 of John 13, he says, I have given you this as an example to follow. Do this as I have done to you. Then he is also showing how humble we ought to be before each other. In today's time, we don't see a lot of people washing feet or serving each other. It is something only others can do. But Jesus was the leader who got down and did the dirty job. In order to be a leader, we have to be humble.
Yes.
We have to show by example. And that's what some of you might know about servant leadership. In order to be a leader, against the standards of this world as leadership comes, Jesus is teaching us how to be a servant leader. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 18, therefore whoever takes the lowly position of a child, just like a child, if you don't become like a child, will become the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humility, trust and simplicity, and full of joy and wonder are the characteristics of children. As we grow older, we lose all of that. But Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is the ones who live like the child. So in Jesus' kingdom, what seems logical to adults in this world are against the way of God, how God works. Jesus calls the last to be first. His words prompt us to serve one another in love. The Bible teaches us to humble ourselves before the Lord, and that when we are wronged, not to fight back, but to offer our offenders more forgiveness and love. And is also an example of love and forgiveness, because God forgives our sins. As he washes his feet, washes their feet, he was also showing that he is also going to wash their hearts and cleanse them with the blood that he was going to shed. Just before this, in the past week of this Last Supper, we read in the scriptures about a woman coming and anointing Jesus' feet with a very expensive perfume. We read that. Her act displayed an immense gratitude for understanding the mission of Jesus Christ. She understood who Jesus was, that all her sins would be forgiven. And she was so much grateful and thankful to that forgiveness that God has given her. And some people say it was Mary Magdalene, who was living a very bad life. She changed her life and was pardoned, and as she repented, Jesus forgave her sins, and she was so thankful for that. So she came with a lot of he came with a bottle of perfume and started washing Jesus' feet. And you remember that, and it was the disciples who said, it's an expensive perfume. You know, she could have sold this and gave it to the poor. And Jesus said, you are not saying this because you love the poor. You are not saying that. I know already that in your heart. But that's what Jesus, the woman did. In other words, when we come to serve others, we have to give all that we can, the best we can put for others, not only for God, but to love others, meaning that whatever you love, in your love, in your world, in your life, you give it to the other people. Whatever you hold dear, you sacrifice for others. That is what the love that he was showing through this example. So as we gather here tonight, as Jesus said to follow his example, let us pray that God will give us the grace to follow that example that Jesus has shown, to show humility and love for others, to become a servant leader, to lead others in the kingdom of God with love. And unlike the world's leadership, Jesus and God's kingdom has a different set of standards.
Yes.
You become a servant leader to serve others, to lead others. So come before this table as we share the remembrance of the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. Let us pray that God will open our hearts and minds, so that we can be filled with the love of God and love others as Jesus did. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, by the baptism of his suffering, death and resurrection. You gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night to which he gave himself for us, he took the bread and broke and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and drink. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit of your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Turn to the bulletin. We have a communion prayer and a closing prayer. Let us pray those prayers now together. Gracious God, you anoint your Holy Son, Jesus Christ, came to this world to suffer and die for us. On the night before he suffered, he instituted the sacrament of his body and blood. Mercifully grant that we may receive them thankfully in remembrance of your mighty acts in Jesus Christ our Lord, who in these holy mysteries gives us the assurance of eternal life. Amen. Let us pray. O God of glory and grace, who always shows mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Jesus Christ, your Son, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God for ever and ever. Amen.